And now the tragedy of Libya. A country that once dreamed of liberation, now people inside pray just to survive, or if they decide to pay to get on an overcrowded boat, they pray that their bodies will be found if something terrible happens on the dangerous sea route from Libya to Italy. 74 bodies washed up on the shores of Libya Monday morning, migrants attempting to flee to Italy across the Mediterranean. Mary Fitzgerald is a journalist specializing in Libya, a contributing author to The Libyan Revolution and its aftermath. Mary, welcome to The Takeaway.
Thank you, John.
What is it about the climate and the seasonal changes that take place around this time of year that make this such a dangerous crossing?
Well, usually the winter months are a time when the number of migrants trying to make that perilous journey from Libya to Europe reduces. But what we've seen over the last year or so is that more and more migrants are choosing to make the journey during those winter months, despite the fact that weather and sea conditions are not conducive. And of course, that leads then to incidents like we saw this week, where basically over 74 people were killed when the very flimsy inflatable raft that they were traveling on seems to have capsized.
What is it about the interior sort of political situation in Libya that creates this level of desperation?
Well, it's important to remember that during the Gaddafi era, Libya was also a very popular transit point for migrants trying to get from countries in sub-Saharan Africa to Europe. And indeed, Gaddafi used this to his advantage. He at times threatened European countries that he would open and close the flow of migration like a tap in order to gain political leverage in Brussels and other European capitals. Since his fall in the uprising of 2011, we've seen a number of different dynamics change in that the existing people smuggling networks that had been operating during the Gaddafi era, they expanded, new networks emerged, and in many cases, these people smuggling networks became entwined with the militias that had sprung up during and after the uprising against Gaddafi. So it's a very dense kind of complex web now that underpins what has essentially become an industry in Libya, and particularly in southern Libya, near Libya's southern border, but also in the communities along Libya's western coast. So basically, you have a situation where this was already happening prior to 2011. Also, you have a situation where migrants that in years previously would have come to Libya with the idea of settling in Libya for a number of years, working in Libya, and then making money to try and get to Europe. Now they don't want to stay in Libya because of the situation in Libya, the insecurity and the risk they run of being detained and mistreated.
It sounds like what you're describing cynically, this industry based on people smuggling, is a consequence of Libya having become three separate rogue states broken off from what was once this dictatorship. Is that where we are now?
Well, right now in Libya, you have three entities claiming to be the government. You have one UN-backed, internationally recognized government, which calls itself a unity government, but really is a unity government just in name, just on paper. That sits in Tripoli. It is challenged by a rival government in eastern Libya and is challenged by another entity in Tripoli, the capital, that also claims to be a government. So with all those rivalries and those claims to legitimacy, you essentially have a worsening political vacuum, which is underpinned by a wider security vacuum. This situation inside Libya is the reason why so many have been expressing concern and expressing serious misgivings over the migration deal that was signed this month between Libya and Italy. It's a bilateral migration agreement. It has been presented as an EU deal on migration, but that agreement was basically with that UN-backed backed government in Tripoli. The reason people are raising a lot of questions about this deal, one of the reasons rather, is the question of what authority that UN-backed government has in Tripoli. It has struggled to impose its authority in the capital, let alone other parts of the country. So there are real questions about the capacity for this UN-backed government to implement this deal in any meaningful way.
Best case scenario, if you were a family embarking on a journey from Libya today to somewhere in Europe, what could you hope for? How long would you be at sea? And what kinds of deprivation would you suffer?
It really depends, because right now you have a situation where Italy has been training the Libyan Coast Guard. That's kind of part of Italy's attempts to try and stem the flow of migrants towards Europe, because most of them end up in Italy. You also have search and rescue missions carried out by European countries. Also, aid organizations have been involved in some of these rescue attempts. So basically, if you take a boat from one of the hubs in Western Libya, your journey could be cut short by the Coast Guard. It could be cut short by the search and rescue teams. Your boat could capsize or get into trouble in the middle of the Mediterranean. The figures so far from the International Organization for Migration indicate that almost 9,500 migrants have arrived in Europe from Libya by sea this year, while 270 were reported dead or missing.
Finally, Mary Fitzgerald, what would a family typically pay for the journey, for the crossing, to ride on one of these boats that's basically a death sentence?
An individual will have to pay several thousand dollars at different different sums at different points of his or her journey. So most of the migrants are basically doing the journey by stages. They will cross over the border as Libya's southern borders, and then they will be passed from smuggler to smuggler until they arrive in those hubs. So thousands of dollars will have changed hands per individual by the time they get on those rickety boats.
Mary Fitzgerald is a contributing author to the book The Libyan Revolution and Its Aftermath. She joins me from Marseille, which is on the frontier there, looking at the Mediterranean. She's a journalist specializing in Libya. Thanks so much, Mary.
Thank you, John.
The Takeaway is supported by Squarespace, a website building platform that helps businesses, entrepreneurs, and individuals to create websites, portfolios, online stores, and more. Learn more at squarespace.com. Squarespace, make your next move. By LegalZoom, helping Americans with legal needs for over 15 years, including business formation and estate plans through a network of independent attorneys licensed in 48 states. More information at LegalZoom.com.